Good morning, church. We've got a lot of good things happening right after church for those who have children in grades 5 and below. We have lunch for you, and our young people are going to be packing bags for the homeless, and it's going to be a great activity, so we invite you as parents to come. Also, your invite card is on your pew. Take it with you, put it in your car, and invite someone to worship with you. Many years ago, before we had this building, we were over there, and we had a young lady who was graduating from Perry High School. And she had the grades to go away to college, and she had the grades to stay, but she was in an emotional wreck. And you know what her problem was? I don't know which is the one college God wants me to go to. What would you tell her? How would you help her make a decision that was within the will of God? I want to share the practical application with you, but before I do, let us back up for a minute and lay a basis for what we're going to do. Well, God does have a universal will for us. It's not bad. It's not fixed. It's not a blueprint or a computer program. It's not a roadmap. It's not revealed to other people, and it's not contrary to the will of God. As parents, we have universal wills for our children. I want my children to be happy and safe and secure, and I want them to have a job, and I want them to live in a house. And I want it for all of my 3 children. It doesn't change at all. That's my universal will for them. I want them to be happy. And no parent wants anything other than that. That's how we want for our children. Well, God's universal for your life and for every person who's ever lived is to know Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's God's universal will for us. He wants you and I who have accepted Him to be holy, to have salvation, to repent, to be merciful, thankful, to be involved in what pleases God, to be His servants, and to be people of unity. The idea of the one and only decision that you can make that pleases God is not found in the Bible. That's something we impose. It's not God's imposing upon us. So God says you have great freedoms to make decisions. See, God's will for our life is not hide and seek. God's hid it out there, and you spend your whole life wanting to turn over that one thing that in your life it shows you the will of God. It's not playing hot or cold. You remember that game? You're really hot? No, you're really cold until we narrow it down. God's not playing that game with us this morning either. And He doesn't say there's only one right answer. Only one college that girl could go to that pleased God at all. It's not a blueprint. There's great flexibility in making decisions, if you will. The psalmist wrote, "Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart." And this means if your goal in life is to please God, He's going to help you do that. He's going to give you desires of your heart. Most of the times the desires of my heart are not necessities. And every now and then, I'll pray for my children. God, will you give them the desires of the heart, the things that they're longing for? Will you grant them that? Would you? It's the things that please God. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus only please God when He went into the ministry from the Jordan River? He arose and God says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." No. God was pleased with Jesus when He was a young kid. He was pleased with Jesus when He was a carpenter. He was pleased with Jesus up to that moment. See, I am no less in the will of God when I'm sleeping than when I am preaching. You're no less in the will of God when you're worshiping than when you're driving your car. Now, your actions may not be in the will of God. You know, some of the actions we do, but it doesn't change. You can take a nap this afternoon and you'll still be in what? The will of God. See, it's not fixed. It's not predetermined. It's not a roadmap. And I want to share with you some decision making this today. The first thing to remember is this. We have freedom in Christ. In Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Let me tell you what he's talking about. The Jewish people grew up with a lot of thou shall nots in life, like some of us did. But they had a big list. They had over 30-some things that you could only do, you know, in traveling on the Sabbath. And they had all kinds of things they put there. And their whole life was this: if I keep the law perfectly, God loves me, and He's going to watch over me, and I'll be in the will of God. When they were writing this, when Jesus came, the Pharisees, the most religious of all, that probably would put us to shame, they kept the law perfectly. But what was the problem when you were a teenager? What's the problem today? The problem today is, when I was a teenager, I had a lot of guilt because I couldn't keep thou shalt nots. They weren't written on the wall of the church, but I knew what they were. We had a lot of guilt because we could not keep everything perfectly. And what he says is this: I'm taking that away from you. That's not how you have a relationship with me. In early in the church, the early church was basically Jewish people who had accepted Christ as the Messiah. And then these people called Gentiles began to come in. Now, there was a problem, and one of the problems was the Christians who were Jewish says, you know what, these Gentile guys coming in, they're going to have to do what we did as Jews. They're going to have to be circumcised. And that was the law. And that's how they felt it. What they were saying is, this is what we went through, so Jesus will only accept them if they follow the Jewish laws coming in. They were called Judaizers. And they went, and this is what Peter said to them. He was in Jerusalem. Now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they are also. What he said was, your granddaddy and my granddaddy and my mom and my dad, they can't keep the law now. Why would we put a burden on them that they can't keep? And when I thought about this, it's a little bit like a missionary going to a foreign country. And he sets up a church. But that church looks just like our church. They worship at a certain time. They do the certain things here the way we do them. And we don't think anything about their culture. And what they were saying is, if this is good enough for us, you've got to do this. But Peter says, no, it's the grace of God to set us free. We're free from those things. And Jesus says, not only did I come to set you free, but I want you to have life abundantly. The word in Greek means a super abundance of life. I think a lot of people think the church is a killjoy, that Jesus came to make life horrible for us, but he didn't. He says, you have the universal will of God. You know what it is. It's the things that please God. It's holiness. It's been thankful and merciful and doing the things that God wants you to do. See, this is the freedom that we enjoy. We have a wonderful playground over there, and there are a lot of little kids that use it. And they are free to go anywhere in that playground they want to go. They can use any of the equipment. They don't have to do anything except or watch. We don't care what they do in that playground because they are what? Free to use it. But the boundary is the fence. The danger zone is the parking lot. They're not free to go in the parking lot. Why? It's dangerous for them. They could lose their life. They could be hurt. See, freedom has boundaries. And what Jesus is saying to them and says to us is, you have great freedom. All you do is simply do the things that I've asked you. And stay under my will. And I want you to look at it as a great red umbrella. That's the will of God. It's that gigantic umbrella up there. And when you look at it, and God says, if you're saved, you've repented, you have salvation, you have a relationship with me, this is my umbrella. Man, everything inside this umbrella, you have all kinds of freedoms. You can do anything you want to. But he says, outside the umbrella is going in the playground, outside the fence, in the parking lot where there's dangerous. And outside of the umbrella of God's will is simply what? It's sin. It's sin. Now, Paul said this about this freedom, and listen to what he says. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. In other words, what he says is, there are two things that govern my freedom. Is it helpful? And is this freedom going to be a master for me? Is it going to make a slave of who I am? You know, we have all kinds of freedoms. But sometimes these freedoms are not something we personally can handle. There are certain things we can't do. Because if we go into these things, it may be something that's going to cause us harm. So therefore, Paul says, you got to think about it. He says, another boundary with your freedoms is you have to say, is it good for me or is it harmful for me? You know, for me to live next door to a donut shop would not be a good thing. But God says, Ron, you can live above the donut shop if you want to. I don't care. But I say, you know what? I know my propensity for donuts. It would not be a good thing. Can you see how it pauses your life? There are little things that we do that are freedoms, not sin. Just not good. The second thing he says, as you and I, when we have this freedom under God's umbrella, what we have to do is we have to ask the question, does it hurt other people? Paul says there are certain things we do can cause others to stumble. And this is what he says. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. And let me give you a crash course on what he's talking about. In those days, there were a lot of pagan gods, and they would come down and worship at the pagan temple. And they'd bring a bull in and worship and invite all their friends, and they'd all eat together. And the priest got a certain amount of meat. Well, he can only eat so much beef, okay? And so what he'd do is he'd take his portion, he'd get what he wanted, he'd take it down to the meat market, and he'd sell it to them, and they would sell it to the housewife who was coming in to buy meat that day. Now, what was that meat? That meat was sacrificed to idols. Paul says, it doesn't matter, because guess what? There's no other thing as other gods. Anyway, so you can eat all the meat you want. But what if Pat says, no, I can't eat that meat, and you know why? I used to go down to that pagan altar, and every time that meat was sacrificed to the idol, I saw it being a part of the God that I worship. And every time I eat, I can't. It brings back old memories. So therefore, Paul says, when Pat comes to visit, we don't serve meat. Or if we do, we'll do it in a way that she knows it's okay. It was not sacrificed to idols. Let me give you one that you and I can probably understand better than that. Am I free to eat chicken wings? It's okay if I eat chicken wings, right? You know, I was asking my son the other day. He says, now there's a place in town that's got the best, chicken wings. He says, I just love those lemon pepper chicken wings. And, you know, he went all through it. Okay, I'm thinking about having some chicken wings, and I'm going to go up to Macon, and there's a place called Hooters. And I understand they have the best chicken wings you'll ever see anywhere in your life. Y'all want to join me? Do you have freedom to go there? But if I come walking out of Hooters, what would y'all guys think? You know, I have laughed about that before because I've been on vacation. We saw them down at Myrtle Beach, and I told Pat, if we'd go in there and eat, I know they'd have a TV crew coming out. And that was way before YouTube. Can you see how my freedom to eat chicken wings could be a stumbling block to you and to ministry? That's what he's saying. And something else about God's will is, he just doesn't tell us everything. M for marriage. Wouldn't it be great if you just take all the guesswork out that God somehow one day would send the woman I'm supposed to marry and where I can find her and when and the wedding date and how it's going, you know, all that. That'd be great. Or if he says, you know, what am I going to do for a living? God said, Ron, I got that worked out for you. So he just shoots me an email and he says, this is where I want you to work. This is where, how you going to do it. And this is what I want you to do. Or maybe where I'm going to live. He says, I want you to live at a certain place. You know, I thought about that for a minute. What if Pat and I had stayed in Virginia, our home state? Do you know, I wouldn't have two son-in-laws and a daughter-in-law that I have now, would I? Was that the only place? No, God says, Ron, you can go anywhere you want to. But see, when you look at it, guys, we have great freedoms in making decisions. And He doesn't say this is the only way. Many of us have lived with the idea that there's only one way to please God. Only one way that makes it happen. How did Jesus make decisions? Well, did He put out the fleece? Did He flip the coins? Did He have a dream? Did He go to a fortune teller? Did He open up the scroll and say, boom, that must be it? Some of y'all have done that with the Bible. Open up and say, oh, God must be speaking to me at this thing. He operated on the universal will of God, didn't He? What was Jesus' thing in life? Was to please the Father. He made a lot of different decisions, but He was wanting to please the Father. In the Sermon on the Mount, why did He teach the people? Because they needed to be taught. Why did He heal Peter's mother-in-law when she was sick? Because she was sick and He wanted to heal her. Why in the Garden of Gethsemane did three times He'd say, God, if it's possible for the cross to pass and You can save people any other way, let it happen, but not Your will. He had great freedoms, but yet He wanted to do what? To please God. And see, not every decision that you and I make is going to work out great. Because God controls history and time and circumstances, and sometimes we just don't make the right ones. See, God wants us to use our intelligence in making decisions. He says, I want you to make those things. In Romans 1, He speaks of us and the ability He's given us. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that the people are without excuse. He says, you can see and you can make decisions. God wants us to use what He's given for us to make decisions to be like Him. And when you look at it, you know, in biblical times, in decisions, people wanted a sign. Sometimes you want a sign. God, let me know that this is for me. And see, in the Old Testament, many of the signs were given for unbelievers and not believers. Jesus simply said to them one day, He says, you know, if all the pagan cities if I'd done miracles in the pagan cities like I have done for you, they would have repented. But you didn't. And all the miracles. You remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? When they saw Jesus feed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children, and all the leftovers came in, that was a miracle. Wouldn't you believe? They didn't. And what happened was they come back and they says, show us something that we can believe. Show us a miracle. You remember the guy who had been crippled for 38 years and they all saw that, but did they listen to him? No. They saw the miracles. They saw what Jesus has done. So those things really are not going to work for us at all. You remember Lazarus and the rich man? And the rich man said to Lazarus, to Abraham, will you send someone to my brothers so that they will know that this is real? And what was said? But if they did not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded even if someone raises from the dead. He says, in these decisions, I want you to seek the wisdom from God. Pray about it. Talk about it. And say, God, this is what I want to do. You know, talk to Him. And James, it says, but if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, wisdom is not accumulation of facts. It's putting those facts into practice. It's how you use them. See, part of the decisions that we make, it's not what we do, but it's why we do them. And God is very much concerned about why you do something, not so much why. Let's say that you need a car. And you pray for a car and God says, okay, I'll help you get a car. And you just get a transportation. In your mind, it's transportation. It could be a new car, but it's still transportation. But what if you said, God, I want a car, but your motive for getting the car was you wanted to impress your friends? That's the wrong motivation, isn't it? To have transportation is a great thing, but the wrong motivation is wrong. And what the truth is, you are free to make decisions in your life. There's not one and only decision that is pleasing to God. You know, God says, you can work anywhere you want to as long as it doesn't dishonor me. He says, you can live anywhere you want to as long as it doesn't dishonor me. You can live in a house. You can live in a tent. You know what God said? You can be homeless if you want to. You can just walk the face of this earth from day to day. If that's what you want to do, and you don't want to have a place of your own, He says, that's okay. He says, you want to drive a car? Don't drive a car. He says, that's okay with me. He says, that's okay. It doesn't really matter. Now, I want to give you five things, and we'll go home, on how you make freedoms. Consider your God-given abilities and talents. See, God never expects us to make a decision that violates our talents or our abilities. He's given us some special things. Some of you are very talented. Some of you are math people. Some of you are music people. Some of you can just mechanically just look and just make it all fit together. It's your choice. He says, when you do this, He says, consider your interest. God wants you to do something you have an interest in. Do you have the ability for it? Can you actually do it? Do you have some experience? You know, what are the advice of other people? And when you do it, do you have satisfaction in it? See, when we make decisions outside of our abilities, it doesn't work out too good for us. Now see, I would love to be a worship leader for two reasons. I'd have hair. You've never seen a worship leader with that hair. And you're the center of attention. And people just move with you. And there's some great songs that I'd like to lead. But what would happen when I went into the ministry if I said, Pat, God has called me to worship leader. It's something I want to do. And I go through college and I come and I finally find a church that will accept me. And Pat and I are there and God says, Ron, I love you. I care for you very, very much. He says, I'm preparing a place in heaven for you. But He says, you're going to go hungry. It's not going to happen to you. You're going to be hungry. The reason is I can't sing. And Pat would say, do I have to support you all my life? I'd say, if I'm a worship leader, that's pretty much the thing. But does God not love, would He not love me? God would love me just as much. But He says, you didn't look at your abilities and your talents. The second thing is, seek wise counsel. You know, it's always available. I had a plumbing problem and I went to Lowe's and I couldn't figure it out and I couldn't figure it out at Ace. So Friday during the rain, I went to a place in Warner Robins and the guy looked and he says, He says, I've been in it 40 some years. I said, well, I've got this American Standard. He said, no, you don't. You got a Mansfield. And he told me why I had a Mansfield toilet. And he says, I know what the problem is. And he went back, and here was the guy about my age, and he had cutoffs, and I thought, he must be freezing. He came out and he says, let me tell you what the problem is. And he laid it all out, and guess what? He was right. You know what I found? People will help you. And sometimes you just got to ask people who know if it works for you. In Proverbs it says, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. He didn't tell us to figure it out by ourselves at all. The third thing is feelings and desires should not be misused or forgotten. Feelings are not a good indication of reality. When I look at worship leaders and I look at all the neat stuff and I look at the big stuff thing and man, I'd never be able to get up that high to worship lead. And none of you guys either. But wouldn't that be great? I got the feeling that God is calling me. God says, you got a feeling, but it's not me. But let me tell you what. Feelings are reality in some situations. It's how a person feels is reality. It may not be true, but a side note, it is reality. And what I've noticed about decisions is sometimes we make decisions based upon what other people want for us. And so many times we do things they want for us and we're miserable doing it. That's not within the will of God as well. You know, you're not to ignore them either. Pat is much better with feelings than I am. I'll ask her sometime, well, what do you think about this? And she'll be able to give me some insight. I'm just not really good at it. The fourth thing is use common sense. God wants you to use some common sense. Jesus says, for which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? He says, common sense. Voltaire said, common sense is not so common. George Bernard Shaw said, common sense is instinct. Enough of it is genius. One writer says, it is 1,000 times better to have common sense without education than to have education without common sense. I don't know if you ever watched Judge Judy or not, but Judge Judy says, if it doesn't make sense, you're lying. Sometimes common sense, you just have got to think about it. And the fifth one is trust God. We make decisions trusting that He's going to bless us. If you're within the umbrella of God's will, He's going to love you and care for you. And He says, those decisions that you fret over, if you have the abilities and it makes sense, and do it. It's okay if you do those things. We have to trust God to walk through the doors there. Does God help us? I really think so. And sometimes I think that, you know, He helps us in answering our prayers by letting us see things. As you and I try to help our children achieve their goals, I hope, Mom and Dad, that you are an encourager for your kids. You be an encourager for your kids and your grandkids, because that is something they need so much. Let me share something with you. In 1984, I've only applied for interviewed for two jobs in my life. In 1984, I was 2 years into a master of ministry, and I had 1 year left, and I got tired of no money, and I got tired of study, and I interviewed in Front Royal, Virginia, at a church there. It was in Virginia, only about 4 hours, 5 hours away from family, and Pat and I went down, and I knew that wasn't for me. They asked us to come and called a couple times later for us to come be their minister. But I realized when I looked at my desires and my dreams, that was not the church. It was well established. And I'd done a lot of studying. And I felt like, and I believe that God is, the answer was, go with an infant church that don't know any better. They don't know what a good preacher sounds like. See, I made it for 34 years. Y'all are good. But when you think about it, it was not of my interest. And the night on Saturday evening, I told Pat, I says, Pat, we can't come here. They're really good people. But our philosophies are worlds apart. Ask them one question. And it was, they'd built a wonderful building. They were packed out, couldn't grow anymore, and had a major debt and had a lot of educational space. And I was sitting interviewing on Saturday evening. I says, when y'all go to a restaurant and the parking lot is full, what do y'all do? Oh, we go somewhere else. And I realized they didn't understand the church. If it's filled, there's no place for you. But can I tell you something else in closing? God walks us through bad decisions. Sometimes we'll make decisions that are just foolish. Or we make decisions and we just bet our whole life on it. And it doesn't work out. It doesn't. And God says, that's okay. I'm going to walk you through bad decisions. And sometimes as Christians, we get outside the umbrella of God's will. And God says, this is not my will for your life, and I'm not going to bless it. but I will move you back if you want to come. He never gives up on us. So when you make decisions in your life, I want you to remember you got great freedom. God says, I'm going to walk with you. Whatever job you just choose, whoever you want to live, what kind of car you want to drive, where you want to vacation, he says, that's your stuff. I really don't care as long as you're happy in that umbrella of God's will. Will you stand with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the freedom that comes with you. And Father, you've given us so much. And Father, the most of all is for us to stay within your will. Father, you have relieved us from a lot of guilt and things we worry about and just set us free. Thank you, Father. And Father, may we as Christians always walk under your will. Let us be there, Father. And Father, be with our people here today who have some major decisions in their life to make. And if they have never accepted you, Christ, we ask that they will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.